A61. Number 10B.
So in order that it flows, it is not getting stale somewhere up in the, on the mountain in a lake, huh? We have to open the gates. We have to open the floodgates. We have to put away every obstruction that flows into our consciousness. Then it can develop. Yes?
Could we say the spirit has to keep the kettle boiling?
The spirit has to keep the kettle boiling, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Actually,
yeah?
What about the type of development which isn't the fighting, let's say, of opposites? In other words, there is a creative idea, which is that flesh. But that just has to be developed. It has to be delineated. It has to be maybe more detailed.
Yes.
Form. Now, you're not fighting anything there. You simply are developing the original idea into
yeah.
a usable form.
Yes.
Or is that soul?
No. No, that's... That's development. Actually, it's unfoldment and evolution of spirit. And it's what Frank, as the first answer, has tried to show, that it is channelized into very specific direction so that it can fulfill its purpose. And we have that when we come to order and to other ideas that come right afterwards, which then, as order, you see, order has nothing to do with opposition, with putting opposition out of the way. Therefore, order is, so to say, the overall idea that rules development and unfoldment. Because unfoldment has always to do with the ordered coming into birth, but it must be so that it cannot be kept in, that it cannot be limited, not be opposed. It must still have that terrific power to diversify, classify, and individualize themselves. That's what comes afterwards. Huh? We have that under reflection. We could have put it right here. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, the next idea we have, the offspring of spirit. She uses that term with spirit, not with mind. Again, what would be the connection with mind that would fit into offspring? Parent mind would be good, huh? You have the parent mind and then the offspring of spirit, the parent mind, the birth of spirit. Again, it shows that spirit is that which frees, so to say, the channels so that the creative mind can really infinitely unfold itself and unfold itself. We have the next one, bears fruit. Again, we see, that's also a bit an biblical sense. Bearing fruit means actually the new birth, means progress, means advancement, means unfoldment. Then you feel that something bears fruit when you have a feeling here, something goes on and unfolds constantly. Can you see that this is something else than accretion? In accretion, which Mrs. Eddy takes as a opposite, really, of unfoldment, though in accretion you always have more and more. But that is not unfoldment. Accretion means that we gather together a lot of new knowledge. So, actually, it is not unfoldment. And can you see that this is important for our study? Is our knowledge of Christian Science a process of accretion, or is our knowledge of Christian Science a process of unfoldment? This is the big question. If it is a process of accretion, we read more books. The more books we read, the more we gather data, the more we gather information, and the more we have more data, more facts we have at our hand. But this is accretion and not unfoldment. It is, instead of having a small encyclopedia, to have a big encyclopedia. But understanding the encyclopedia is another thing. Actually, the encyclopedia is put in such a way that it is not there to be understood. It is a reference book. And so we have to be very, very careful that we see that our study is channelized into a birth, and that into a birth that brings forth fruit, that brings forth development and evolution, and not accretion. And this is the big question we have been touching already this morning. This terrific sense of gathering and gathering and gathering, accumulating, accumulating, and never let the idea evolve from within. Give to the idea enough ground, enough food to grow by itself, and let it grow by itself in order to bring forth. Until that happens, really, we always have a stale mentality, no matter how much we accumulate knowledge in Christian Science, even in Christian Science. You want to say something?
Yeah, wouldn't the accurate say sort of like a generalization, each rebirth is a new generalization that takes you to a different standpoint, and in this unfoldment, whereas Christian, you always are on the same standpoint, but you have more data.
Absolutely, yes. Well, it's difficult to go into this question, which is a beautiful question, the difference between, for instance, also development and unfoldment. There is quite a difference. And the difference between unfoldment and evolution, and the difference between evolution through mutation. These are all different kinds of evolution. But I think, just the same, I think I go off on a little tangent. Because you brought it up, you know. It's so important, this question of just accumulating on the same level. That's accumulation, which most students do. They accumulate more and more knowledge. They think if they have read every book on Christian Science, then they know more. They don't. You can meet people that for 40 years have read everything that has come out in Christian Science, authorized and unauthorized literature, and you feel they haven't touched yet what Christian Science is. They have a terrific knowledge of it. Why? You see, nature gives us a very beautiful example of what is true unfoldment. If you have an atom as the smallest data, let's say, in natural history, you can accumulate atoms and atoms and atoms. You don't bring forth anything new. But if an atom is added to another atom to the size of a molecule, suddenly the structure of the accumulation of atoms gathers into a structure called molecule. That is unfoldment, because a molecule has different laws within itself than all the atoms. They act differently than the atoms on top of each other. And if we have molecules, we can add molecules, but we cannot infinitely add molecules in order to get something. It is just a matter of adding molecules to a certain way that we get something completely new, a cell. And the cell acts absolutely different, has different laws in itself and different reactions in itself than before. See? That's development. It isn't a question of gathering a lot. It is the question, can the reflection or the relationship of atoms be seen so that they constitute something completely new? A definite something new, a molecule. A few molecules, you cannot add molecules on top of each other until you have a whole mountain of molecules. In nature, development goes another way. It just gathers those which are able to form then a cell. And a cell has different reactions, different laws, different processes in it. And from a cell, a few cells together may form an organ. Few organs together, an organism. Organism together, a body. Bodies together, a social system. Social system together, a family. Families together, a clan and a nation and so on. Can you see? Every time in that development, something radically changes. It isn't, but nature does not work that way, that it has just had atoms on atoms. It had within itself the ability to form new structures. And that's the same in Christian Science. Same in Christian Science. If we let the birth of spirit reign within us, if all what we study is the effect of a birth and not of a very voluminous time-robbing study, but a spiritual birth, that study will bring forth suddenly a completely new model of consciousness that suddenly sees the whole picture in a different way. And therefore you have these great evolutions in the spiritual idea. So that the textbook seen 100 years ago is something else than seen today, though the textbook is the same. So if you can somehow fathom this idea, you are really off. And you are really off. But very few try to do that. They try to use their brains to study. They try to use their hours. The more hours they put into it, the more they think they do God's work. They don't. You can do it with less hours, with few hours, but choosing the right method, the method of spirit. Then, really, the idea then develops and does not accumulate. The idea then is not an accretion of new knowledge. It is an unfoldment that suddenly brings out a completely different attitude, a different model of thought. You see, for instance, you take a seed, and the seed can no more be compared with the flower that comes out afterwards. They have completely different structures, they look absolutely different. And yet, that flower has come from the seed. But that seed has changed constantly. It has taken the root, and then afterwards it has pushed the stem, and then afterwards some leaves came out, and then suddenly a bulb came out, and then the bulb broke, and then suddenly there is a flower there. There are stages of development whereby on every stage there is a complete restructuring taking place. So that the phenomena changes, though it comes out from the same identity. But if you only would put seed upon seed upon seed upon seed upon seed, we would just have a heap of seeds, nothing more. Yeah? And this is what is so needed in the spiritual science. That the spiritual birth is that which does not accumulate new knowledge, but brings forth new structures. And that is unfoldment.
Would this be a time to elaborate for us, or for me, the full meaning of the seed within itself?
I like to do that when we take soul, because that's the sense of soul. A seed within itself, yes? Mm-hmm. All right, we went off on a tangent by bearing fruit. A spirit bears fruit. Now, don't ask me, that's the question that usually students ask and say, but how do you make this happen? That suddenly, through spiritual birth, a new model of thought comes into your consciousness? Well, the answer is, I can't tell you, because that's the work of the idea. What we can see is only that there is a law, and that we know the law of that evolution. But how it will evolve, that is the job of the spirit, and the spirit blows where it listens. It is doing that in its own way, and we cannot know what will come out. No one that sits here knows what will be the outcome of our study today. Intangible phenomena. We do not know what comes to each one, what experience will be met by each one, what each one will learn, how each one will make a step forward. We only know that if we obey the law, that there will be progress. That we know. But the spirit blows where it listens. So, you can see why it takes so much moral courage, or I would say spiritual courage, to go along the laws of science, because we never know what happens to us. We never know what really the direction is that mind will put on us and lead us and say, look here, this is now your new position. You better accept it. And to accept it may be something that we didn't want at all, that we don't like at all, because spirit will put forward something that is not humanly likable, but spiritually likable. And therefore it needs courage to go the way, because we never know what we're facing. And the more we are willing to say to ourselves, let spirit rule, and spirit says, let all the material conception be laid down, to drop all the material conceptions, to drop all our desires and our wishes and our human ideals, the more we drop them and are right the way at the moment prepared and say, whatever happens, I will say yes to it. I will go along with it. And I don't query it and don't question it. And that's the inner attitude, naturally, of spirit. When spirit translates itself, and the birth of spirit translates itself to the human motion, it acts within us as that willingness to let go of the old and to turn towards the new. All right? Then we come to order, and now we get it, huh? To the order of spirit. But not always has a good sense, a scientific sense of the term order. Naturally, one likes to have order in one's own human affairs, so that at home you have some kind of order that not everything just lies around all over the place, but that everything has its proper place, and you say, I have made some order at home or in the business. But this is not the scientific sense of order. It's a nice sense and we need it. But the scientific sense of order is actually different. Namely, the order of nature is that like produces like. This is the fundamental order in a science. So when we think about spirit and order, don't think in the first instance right away, oh yes, I should go home and put everything in order. I know that my shoes are lying around and the socks are lying around somewhere and so on and so on. Well, this is quite nice, but to put it into order. But order in science means something else. That out of something, something springs forth and unfolds in a direct line. Therefore, she speaks about the straight line of spirit also. See, this is another way of putting into words the order of spirit, the straight line of spirit. And here we come back to what Frank has said, that order or unfoldment show is that which takes care that an idea isn't spilled all over the place, and therefore cannot really achieve its destined end, but that like the preceding stage is always that which is bringing forth the succeeding stage and leads thought in an ordered way to its fulfillment. So right through from mind to love, we have the order of spirit. It's the order of spirit, but it's that order which says mind pushes you to spirit, and spirit pushes you to soul, and soul pushes you to principle, and principle pushes you to life, and life pushes you to truth, and truth pushes you to love as the fulfilled state. Then the creative intent of mind fulfills itself, comes to the point of achievement and absolute fruition. But that which does that is spirit, all through. So if thought is pushed from principle to life, it's the order of spirit that does it. Because it says out of the preceding stage flows the next succeeding stage in an ordered way. And this is really the marvel in every science and everywhere. See, without such an order, nothing would have happened in civilization, nothing would have happened really in any science. If we contemplate any science, like physics, I'm not too good at physics, perhaps you can help me, but still, it is practically inconceivable that Einstein would have come before Newton. These are orders that cannot be turned upside down. They build always on the shoulder of the predecessor, and the moment, I don't know now, you haven't read that book of Buchholz where he shows the development of science there, that there is that wonderful sense of life, truth, and love in science, namely the logicity, always the impulsion of life, leading in the logicity of truth to a perfect goal. And he shows that through the various sciences, that any time somehow an investigation went on a sideline, on a little sideline, it went on the sideline, but it always came back to the main line which pushed forward. And that there is one big trend going through any science. It has these little branches from the trend, but they always come back to the terrific main line that shows that there is definite order, and that a computer science could not be conceived of before one had a certain insight into to mathematics and to whoever it was that was before. Who was it? Shannon or so? But if Shannon would not have first seen the investigated all the gambling mathematics and so on, computer science would not have had a real footing and so on. So you can see we can rely in our life that we are never pushed into a position that is too far ahead of us, that we cannot manage. Our life will be an ordered life. We will be guided step by step, so that, say, if this would not be so, if we would be pushed right to a place where perhaps mankind will be at the year 2050, we would not find our footholds there. We wouldn't know. We would be absolutely in a wilderness, because we wouldn't have the necessary consciousness to handle that situation. So the whole world and the individual, by the birth of spirit, will always be unfolded to that point which we still can manage, which we still can grasp. It will always be to the uppermost energy that we can muster, so to say, within us, that we can handle it. It will stretch us. It will stretch us. It will not be a rosy path. It will stretch us. Do you say stretch us when it means it will need our best, huh? Of energies and intelligence and activities? That's progress. Yeah. And spirit does it. Believe it. I have seen it. I have experienced it. See, I'm no more a babe. I don't know how many years, I don't want to tell you, but I have some decades of Christian Science history behind my back. And I have seen. See, I have watched that Christian Science movement, you see, since the First World War, consciously. I've seen what happened with the Christian Scientists, and I've seen more people fail than succeed. I've perhaps seen 95-97% people fail, and only a few that succeed. A spiritual adventure is an adventure of the greatest magnitude. It's not baby talk. So, it is an adventure, but let's take that adventure. It's a beautiful adventure. We can't miss anything, but it will take our best energies, demand our best energies. And we have a law. Before Tondoli, we didn't have any law. We didn't quite know how to go about. We were in the wilderness. We tried to the right and to the left and forward and backward and never get out somewhere, never could really find any orientation until John Dolly showed the line of spirit, the order of spirit. And from that point on, somehow one felt one is treading on secure ground. You can tread on very secure ground if you are in earnest in every step. And that is the order of spirit, which means constantly, do I put first things first? Do I distinguish properly? Where is my heart? Where is my soul? Where is my mind? Yes? So this is order. Order that pushes on and on and on. Mind creates, spirit unfolds in an ordered way. Mrs. Eddy speaks about the line of spiritual creation. It's a beautiful way, the line of spiritual creation in a line. It's not a dotted line, it's a line where every next stage is on that line. There is no jump there. And we are never put into a situation which we cannot master. The next idea is purity, and here we have a very important idea of spirit. What means purity? When we speak about purity, we don't mean in the first place material purity, that I wash myself properly, or moral purity. It is scientific purity. Scientific purity means that something is free from foreign elements. That scientific investigation is free from foreign elements, free from unscientific, from pseudo-scientific approaches. That scientific investigation is free from mystical investigation, so that we keep really the science of spirit pure, free from all other attempts. So purity means, in a scientific way, that spirit is the only and is uncontaminated by any dualistic sense, whatever that dualistic sense may be, any dualistic sense. Then we see that it is only of one nature. Purity means to be only of one nature. That's why we have the nature of spirit. Mr. Sadie says, we had yesterday, the laws of nature are the laws of spirit. The nature is spirit, because... Actually, I shouldn't talk so much. You should really talk. Help me. Yes. Nature is spirit and not material, because we have to do with spiritual ideas, with spiritual qualities, with spiritual attributes also. Everything is spiritual. That makes up the nature of being. That makes up the qualities of being. It's all spiritual. And that nature is pure. It means that it's unmixed, uncontaminated by anything foreign to itself.